Accession number 27329, Reel 5.
I said, I would like to get near, somewhere near the Coventry. And what about my old ground in Malvern that I'm very used to? I know the work there. Any chance of a promotion to Malvern? I will think about it. And so they thought about it. And it took them a couple of months, but they decided, yeah, OK. We've spoken to the OC in Malvern, the colonel there, and he's quite happy to accept you, first of all, as a major, knowing jolly well that you're going to get promoted to lieutenant colonel. It was a bit sad leaving that team, Sire, in Dusseldorf, in lots of ways, because we worked so hard and so close, all of us, with a lot of drama and a lot of tension. There's a thing in the army circles with officers that if you get a job that is on a critical path, and especially if politics come into it, there's only two ways it's going to end. You're either going to be successful and get an award like the MBE, like I did, or it all goes wrong and you get court-martialed and thrown out. And that's how I always view my job as SIAT, but a lot of dedication to people, and I was extremely lucky, MBE, and with promotion as well. And so we moved off to Malvern in Worcestershire for my last job, posted initially as a major. And I started off doing up there. Our house in Romsey, which we'd owned and lived in, when Sheila came out to Germany, we let it through an agent in Southampton for a while, and then decided after a couple of years we sold that, put the money away. And when we moved to Malvern, I was posted to Malvern, we took over an army quarter, a very nice big army quarter, even though my wife was living in church, a very small church flat in Coventry. We knew that with children in boarding school, it was a very small flat. We would need a house for when they came home on holiday. And the army, of course, the quarter went with the job. So I took that over in Malvern, a lovely house. Again, in an army patch. And I moved in as a major and took over a major's job to start with. The ironic thing was that when children were coming home from boarding school, they tended to drift more, because I was going to Coventry at weekends anyway, and of course my wife being in the church, full-time job, weekend work was her prime function. Things were going on during the week, but of course she had to be there Saturday and Sunday. And so we were tending to drift over and cramming into this one-bedroom flat, or two-bedroom flat, rather, in Coventry, which was a little bit... it again put different strains on us, but really it worked out all right. And then, again, we thought, well, here we are. I'm paying rent for this big army quarter. Should we not think about getting back into the property market? So we looked around Malvern and we actually bought a flat up on the hillside in a very old house. It's only an old house split into four flats, and we bought the two-bedroom job, and we bought it. And so I moved out of the army quarter and moved into the flat, and so we had a nice flat in Malvern. My wife was working in Coventry. She could get over whenever she could for breaks, but I was going back at weekends from Malvern to Coventry. And that job progressed quite nicely. I did one job as a major within the branch in Malvern, moved to another job as a major, and then I got promoted to lieutenant colonel in that job initially, and then one of the lieutenant colonels in Malvern was posted and I took his slot over. So I ended up doing a structured lieutenant colonel job. Ironically, thinking about my old Dolby days when I said I wouldn't touch rapier as a WO1, I was then posted as I then moved to OC Rapier Division in Malvern, which was a massive division, mostly civilians, but a lot of military as well. and I was their OC. But of course, being OC is very different to being a WO1. You know, you were the chief supervisor and manager, and virtually personnel manager, and all the technical expertise were all there, and working to me and through me and all that. And so that was very good. However, my wife Sheila's job in Coventry, again, was coming to an end. She knew then, the way that the Church of England was going, they decided that they wouldn't make women priests at this early stage, but in 1986, they did decide to make women deacons, where the subtle difference is they couldn't wear a collar, they weren't priested, but they could be called reverend. And so that was a sort of a step up from deaconess. So she became Reverend Sheila Morton in her own right. And a move from Coventry was then on the books. She thought, well, I could be doing something else as well here. And she would, oh, no, that's right, they were doing away with the curate's job. That's right. And decided that she ought to be making a move. And so, again, she hunted around for a job, and a very nice curate's job came up in Yorkshire, in a place called Boston Spa, just outside of Wetherby. And so she moved up to there. So I'm in Malvern still, in the army, going up to Yorkshire at weekends, which was a lot further, and started to have a bit of a strain, you know. And I thought, well, in the army you have to do 2 years in the rank to get the pension of that rank. I had 3 years left to do when I got my lieutenant colonel, so I thought, well, we'll do the 2 years and then I'll probably leave. So that's what I did. I did the 2 years as lieutenant colonel, living in our flat in Malvern, and going up and down to Yorkshire at weekends. And in the end of in January 1990 is when I actually finished with the army completely, but I actually left Malvern at the later end of 1989 to do my resettlement courses and leave, etc. They were all done up in Catterick, or the resettlement course. And then I moved up to our church house then, up in Boston Spa. Left the army completely, then fully retired at the age of 54. And went up with the intention not of going into full-time employment again, but as my wife had followed me around, after, as I've explained now, all these years moving, it's about time that, you know, I should follow her. Because she's 8 years younger than me, quite a way off retirement, etc., and with a lot to give to the church. So that's what I did. I moved up to Boston Spa as a fully retired lieutenant colonel, and doing voluntary work up there. We kept the flat in Malvern. We let it for a year, just to get some income in on it. But at the end of that year, we said, no, we won't let it again. We can afford to keep it, a very low mortgage, and use it as a retreat place to go on holidays and things like that, which I did. Now, that was divine intervention, that was. It was very good that we did that, because we needed that later on. I was doing all sorts of voluntary work in Boston Spa. I did do one paid job as a carer. There was an advert, bearing in mind now I'm Mr. Morton, although I could be called Lieutenant Colonel, but for security reasons, once I went into Civvy Street, I preferred to be called Mr. Morton and whatever, you know. I did a carer's job looking after a man who was severely crippled with multiple sclerosis, but he ran a travel agency. He was a single guy. He had a carer living in at home, lady. But my job was to go and collect him from home using his vehicle in a wheelchair, take him into work in Wetherby, which is a local town of Boston Spa, and looking after him in the office. He only worked about 3 or 4 hours, but he was running the firm. And then taking him back home, and that continued for quite some time. I then did a postman's job at Christmas one year up there in Boston Spa, which was interesting and exciting. I learnt a lot then about how the post office works. Again, a small salary and whatever, and still doing voluntary work within the village. But then my wife was made redundant from this curate's job in Boston Spa, and thought, oops, difficult. What are we going to do? Because there was no work coming on then. That she applied for lots of jobs and wasn't getting anywhere. So she decided then to move back into the flat in Malvern. And that's when I thought, well, hang on, here I am, 55, 56, still got working life left. I ought to find, if your church job is now going to be that little bit iffy, if it's not automatic that you're going to get a paid job, then although my army pension's good, it's not that good. So I decided to become a civil servant then, back working for the army. And again, it was my dear old friend here in Arborfield, who was commandant of SEAE, or SEE as it was called then, who needed a new retired officer, an RO, in one of the admin jobs. So I applied for that and got it and moved down here, living in the mess to start with. And my wife Sheila then, in the flat in Malvern, started to look for a church post within the Arborfield Reading area. And that went on for a year with no luck at all. She was going for interviews but not being selected for a variety of reasons. Some she didn't know, some she did know, you know. And I was working, I was very happy with the retired officer's job I was doing here, looking after soldiers' careers. I felt like I was ploughing back all the experience that I'd had into looking after them, you know, with their postings and their careers and their training, etc. Permanent staff, that is, not students, permanent staff. Very happy with that. Anyway, from my wife's side, she said, well, it's no good me carrying on looking in the Reading area. I've got to go back like I did before and look generally for a church job. And a job came up in Flitwick in Bedfordshire as a curate, and she went for the interview and got the job. Again, with a church house, fairly small one, but with a church house. And so she moved there. Now, it was this time where women were then priested, and she went down to Canterbury and became one of the first women, one of the first 18 in Canterbury to be priested, and that was the full works then. And that was a major step forward. And she did that job, and she stayed in Flitwick for 7 years. I stayed in Arborfield as a retired officer for 6 years, and then my job was changing. It was being written out of the establishment in Arborfield, so I thought, well, you know, I'd like to carry on working for a bit longer. And I heard that the retired officer's job back in Malvern again was going. So I rang them up and said, anybody interested? They said, no, apply for it. So I did it through the normal civil service way, got my interview, got the job. It was an RO2's job as opposed to an RO3, so there was a little bit more salary went with it. So I moved up to Malvern then, and did 1 year of that, living in our flat in Malvern, working in Malvern itself as a civilian, a retired officer, commuting at weekends to Flitwick in Bedfordshire. And I did that for a year. And then I went home and I lived, and when I retired from that, I moved down and lived in Flitwick then in the church house with my wife. By then, of course, all the family, three children, have all left their boarding school, they've gone to college, which are all now universities, but they went to polytechnics. They got their qualifications. They got married. They live in York, Oxford, and our eldest daughter is married to an army officer, and they live in Paderborn right now in Germany. Anyway, the Flitwick job, after about 5 years, my wife was again looking for another job, a priestly job of her own. And that took 2 years to find. But 4 years ago, she was appointed to be rector of three villages in North Bedfordshire, Wealdon, Ravensley, Colmouth, where we are now. And we all moved up there, and that's where I've been ever since. As a fully-fledged, fully retired, at the age of 68, with my army pension, my little service, civil service pension, and my, I won't call it the old age pension, they call it senior citizens retirement pension. And life is very good. Very good indeed. And I look back at all this army experience I've had since 1951 and think, well, first of all, I thought how lucky I was about all the postings we've had, a few dramas, a lot of upset, but we've sort of grinned and bore it and got on. And I know a lot of people don't believe in divine intervention and the big hand of God or whatever, but on reflection, I think about it, I think I was being pushed and pulled by some great power somewhere in doing what we've done. And I can look back with terrific satisfaction on it all. And I owe it all really to lots of factors. Big support from the wife, terrific support from my wife, and the children as well, you know. Terrific people to work with, especially in Remi. I wouldn't want to be in any other. I wouldn't have wanted to be in any other department of the army at all, on either technically or infantry or whatever. Remi has become such a big family to me. I know my father was in it from the beginning and etc. But they're such a great bunch of people to work, or they were a great, and they still are, a great bunch of people to work with and for, and have worked for you. A terrific family. And like where we are now, you know, here in the Remi Museum, I walk in and there's friends and people that you've known for years. They seem part of your family, and that's very good. There's not many people in civil life can say that about their career and about their jobs, you know. Extremely grateful. And whenever I can, I plough back my experience to other people, especially young people coming in. The army is totally different today than what it was when I was serving, and some people may say that's quite correct. That's what progress is all about, and fine, if that's what progress is, fine. But you can still give advice and still say to these youngsters coming through, it is a great, you can still get a great career. It is different. The stresses and strains are very different, but go for it. And wish them all the very best. And if they can end up like I did, then even better. Yeah, fine.